Last Lord's Day morning, we began talking about the subject of shepherds in the local church, that is, elders in the local congregation. And we began talking about elders because we as a congregation are going to be talking about whether we have men that are qualified to serve in the capacity of elders in this congregation. We'll be doing that in coming weeks, probably. And so we wanted to present some lessons that might be of help. So last week we talked about why a lot of congregations don't have elders and looked at various reasons as to why congregations don't have elders. And of course, it is possible that a congregation does not have elders because there simply are not men that meet the qualifications. And it is certainly scriptural for a congregation to exist who does not have scripturally qualified men to serve as elders. But if there are men that are scripturally qualified to serve, they ought to serve. But we were looking last week at reasons why congregations may still not have elders watching over them. Well, we want to continue this morning in that general topic about elders and overseers of the church. We're going to focus our attention this morning on the work of the shepherds over the local church. And we're going to begin looking tonight at the qualifications of those men that would serve in the local church as elders. And all of these are important aspects of the concept of elders. And we're going to look at a number of different areas that we hope will be of help. But elders in the local church are important, and they carry out a work. They carry out a good work, Paul calls it. There in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, faithful is the saying, if a man seeketh the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And the word bishop is just another one of six different terms that are all used interchangeably, referring to the same office in the church. We generally use the word elder, but here the word bishop is used. But we'd also suggest 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13, where Paul said, but we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. And so in both of these passages, though he makes reference to the work that these men are doing, it is a work. And we need to recognize that it is a work. First of all, let's focus on that word office that was found there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. By referring to it as an office, he's not making reference to elders as being in some higher position of Christian or a higher rank of Christian. It's just another way of referring to work. And I think we can see that in these very passages. He says someone who desires or seeketh the office of a bishop is seeking a good work. He's seeking an office. He's seeking a work. It's saying the same thing. The idea of office and the idea of work go together. In fact, over in Romans chapter 12 and in verses 4 through 8, we're not going to read all of those verses, but notice in verse 4 where he says, for even as we have many members in one body and all the members have not the same office. And it goes on talking about different works that members in the body of Christ can accomplish. So we all have an office to fulfill in the body of Christ. We all have a work to do in Christ. And we're talking, though, in this series about elders. And the office of elder is simply another area of work that the Lord has directed to be performed in the local church, but only specially qualified men are permitted to carry out this particular work. For elders to do their work properly, they, as well as we, need to have a proper understanding and appreciation for the responsibilities that they would be appointed to fulfill. Those who would serve as an elder, they need to know and understand what is expected of them in the sight of God. But it's also important for us to have a proper understanding of their work so that we don't expect something from them that's not a part of their work. So that we're not expecting them to fulfill a role that is not theirs to fulfill. And so it's important for all of us, whether we're talking about the men who may seek the office of a bishop, that seek to be an elder, or whether we're talking about the rest of us as members of the congregation as those that would be in submission to such men. The qualifications for the office or the work of elder are important. And as I said, we're going to begin looking at those in our time on Sunday evenings, beginning tonight. But they're going to give us the qualifications, and we're going to see in those passages, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, that in giving us the qualifications, it's giving us men who are able to do the work that the Lord wants elders to do. And so we're looking at the work of elders this morning, but we're going to look at the qualifications tonight. And we're going to be seeing in those qualifications that it's going to give us the men that will do the work. They give us men who are able to examine themselves as well as others. And that's going to be, we're going to see the work. They're to be an example to the flock. They're to be exemplary men and able to be examples for the flock of God. We're to find men who have overseeing ability and proven that in their own homes, because that's going to be the work that they are to fulfill. They are to teach the truth or to guard us against those that are teachers of error. And so they have to meet qualifications pertaining to the truth. The qualifications show us the kind of men or the kind of work that these men are being called to do. And so it's important for us to understand the qualifications of elders. And that's, again, what we'll begin looking at in our time this evening. Let's make this point, though, before we begin looking at their work. And that is that their work, their responsibilities, really can fall into three categories. First of all, some responsibilities that deal with them and God. Some responsibilities that they have to God himself. But then they also have some responsibilities that deal with themselves. They have some responsibilities as far as maintaining themselves. In fact, over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, in that passage, when Paul was meeting with the elders of the church of Ephesus, he said, "Take heed unto yourselves." He started by saying, "Take heed to yourselves." And so that some responsibilities will have to do with themselves. But also he went on to say, "And to the flock." And so elders are to have the responsibilities that they have toward God, toward themselves, as well as to the flock. And as we go through these responsibilities this morning, as well as next Lord's Day morning, I've got, it's 11 or 12 of them in all. We'll go as far as we can this morning, but then complete it next week, looking at these works that they are to fulfill. And let's just go ahead and look, first of all, to the fact that they are to take heed to themselves. Now, that is the first responsibility, or one of the responsibilities. Again, many of these will have regards to their responsibilities toward God and to the flock, but consider the responsibilities toward themselves. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, something is said pertaining to all of us who are children of God, and not just to elders. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the American Standard rendering says, "Try your own selves, whether you're in the faith, prove your own selves. Or know ye not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate." So try your own selves, prove your own selves. Put yourself to the test. Stop and examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. That's what a responsibility that we all have, as indicated there. But elders specifically have that responsibility, as we alluded to it already in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves. Why? Why do these elders specifically need to take heed to themselves? Well, first of all, they need to do as the passage there in 2 Corinthians was talking about. They need to examine themselves to see if they're still in the faith. Obviously, if they are not, if they have left their first love, if they have given their allegiance to some other than Jehovah God above, then they have no business serving as an elder. They need to examine themselves continually and make certain that their allegiance is where it needs to be, that their confidence is where it needs to be in God above. They need to examine themselves to see that they're still in the faith. They need to examine themselves to see if they still be qualified to serve as elders. Again, we're going to look at those qualifications beginning tonight. And a man must meet those qualifications before he can be appointed by the congregation to serve as an elder. But he needs to maintain those qualifications as well. He can't lose those qualifications and still continue to serve as an elder. If he should examine himself and find that he has changed the course of life that he was living and therefore is no longer meeting those qualifications, he shouldn't continue to serve as an elder. He should humbly step down and allow others to fill that role, that take care of that special work that only specially qualified men are to be taken care of. So he needs to make sure he's still qualified. But I would also suggest he needs to examine himself for the purpose of continuing to grow. Over in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, Acts chapter 20, we noted in verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God which is among you. The flock of God, he made reference. Among you was another passage. But later in the same passage, he says in verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God is able to build up. And he was telling them they needed to devote themselves to God and to the word of God because it could build them up. Elders are still going to need to continue to the process of growth. They must meet those qualifications before they can be appointed as elders. But that doesn't mean they're perfect. We talked about that briefly last week, that some congregations don't have elders because they're looking for men that are perfect. None of us are perfect. And as we begin looking at the qualifications this evening, we're going to see that a lot of these qualifications there's a little freedom there as to where in the spectrum that they meet that qualification. There's some of them you either do or you don't. The husband of one wife. Well, does he have a wife? Is he married? If he's not even married, then he either is or he either meets that qualification or he doesn't. But there are some of those qualifications where there might be different degrees to which they might meet that qualification. And it's not imperative that they meet a particular qualification to the extreme high end of that spectrum. If they are at a lower end but meeting the qualification, they've met the qualification. But there's still room for growth there, you see. There's still room for them to continue to grow even in those areas in which they are qualified as men to carry out this special work. So they need to examine themselves, and that's a responsibility that these men would have should they be appointed amongst us. But something else, they are to be guided by God's word. They have the responsibility to make sure that they are always guided by the word of God. Over in Acts chapter 20, verse 32 again, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Or over in Titus 1 in verse 9, in that section where he's talking about the qualifications, he said that they're to be holding to the faithful word, which is able to, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. And so he must be someone who is holding to the faithful word. That's a responsibility that he has. It's a qualification in order to be an elder, and he must continue to hold to the faithful word. He must continue to be guided by God's word. In the great work of the church, most of the things that are going to be done are going to be matters of faith. And that means matters of what's in God's word and doing things the way God wants them done. They've got to be faithful adherents to the word to see that the congregation is faithfully following what the Lord wants done. The elder's job is to see that what the Lord has given for us to believe and do is what's being believed and done in the local congregation. So they have to hold to the faithful word. They've got to be guided by it in all that they seek to do. And if they don't, then they're going to lead the congregation in wrong areas. Elders must realize their responsibility to always be guided by God's word. And the emphasis here is by to be guided by God's word. And not merely be guided by the popular opinion of the congregation, because the popular opinion of the congregation could be wrong. Not to be guided by a sense of wanting to take a course that's going to keep people from criticizing me. Making the right decisions sometimes may mean you're going to be criticized. They need to be willing to make the right decisions because that's the direction God's word is guiding, would guide them in, even if it's not popular. They need to be willing to guide in everything according to what God's word said. And that would certainly mean in those areas where God has given his will very clearly. But even in areas where he's not given his word to us clearly, where he's left us to judge for ourselves, even there they're to be guided by God's word, by the principles that are found in God's word, the principles of love and brotherly kindness and so many other principles that are there that would come into play even in the areas that deal with matters of personal judgment. But they must be guided by God's word. Something else that they are to do, that is to be examples to the flock. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. Peter says, "Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves in samples to the flock." That's the American standard. In samples or examples to the flock. Elders are not to lord it over the church like a dictator, but rather they are to lead so that others will follow. The whole idea is the idea of a shepherd. And again, that's one of the concepts that is used when talking about these elders is that they are shepherds. And you just think about the difference in a shepherd and a cowboy. You know, what does a cowboy do? Some people, I think, want to view their role as an elder as being like a cowboy and just, with a cowpoke, forcing the cows to go where they want them to go. But that's not the concept. It's the concept of a shepherd who is out walking in front and leading the sheep who are willing to follow because they know he's looking out for them. They know that he has their safety in mind. He's not going to lead them where they're going to be in danger. So they're going to follow him as he leads them to the greener pastures, as he leads them to the places where they need to go. And in the local congregation, elders are going to need to do that. They're going to need to follow that concept of being shepherds and lead. And one of the main ways in which they lead is by their example. They show us where to go. Remember over in John chapter 10 that Jesus talked about himself and in the concept of being shepherd. John chapter 10 and in verse 4 of John chapter 10, he says, "When he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." They know their shepherd, and so they follow after him. And that's the concept we're talking about here. Elders are to lead, and we are to follow. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, the writer of Hebrews, speaking about these overseers in the congregation. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, he said, "Remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God, and consider the issue of their life," or considering the issue of their life, "imitate their faith." Follow their example. Imitate their faith or follow their example. So elders are to be examples. And really, they're to be examples in all areas of life. They are to be an example of a Christian father. They're to show us men how to be the kind of fathers that the Lord wants us to be. They're to show us how to be the kind of husbands that we ought to be toward our wives. Again, they're to be certain qualifications that we'll look at that deal with the family. And certainly they are to be an example of those things as they continue their Christian life and lead the congregation as they carry out this work in the congregation. They're to be examples of how to be a good Christian neighbor. of how to be of influence and reach the lost that are around us in our life, our next door neighbors, our co-workers, whoever they might be, to be able to reach them for Christ. There are to be examples of being a good teacher of the word, of being a faithful Christian, of course. There are to be an example with regards to recreation and entertainment. Not necessarily of the particular types of recreation, because we all have our different tastes, our different interests. But certainly they ought to be examples to us as to how we ought to conduct ourselves in those sports or those activities. There are to be examples to us in every area of our life and service. You know, we're all to be peacemakers. That was a part of the Beatitudes, and there to be an example to us on how to be peacemakers. And in congregations, that's going to be important. There to be an example to us of just our work as Christians and being active and involved in the work that the Lord wants us all to be engaged in. There to be an example to us in all areas of life. And those who would serve as elders need to recognize that role that they are to fulfill as elders of the congregation. But let's go on. Well, I did want to... there's an old sentence sermon that says, "The sermon that standeth tallest of all is by example." And really, elders need to live by that. They're to lead by their example. They're to be preaching a sermon constantly just by the way in which they're conducting their lives. But let's go on. They've got to take the oversight. They have a responsibility in exercising oversight in the local congregation. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verses 2 and 3, Peter said, "Tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight," the King James says, "taking the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves ensamples to the flock." So they are to exercise the oversight. They are to take the oversight. The idea of taking the oversight is not the idea of someone who comes in and takes power away from someone else, maybe a coup or something, and taking power that wasn't really given to them. It's not that way at all. But it's the idea of him accepting the responsibility of his charge, of him accepting the work of oversight that has been assigned to him since he has these qualities, these qualifications, and has been appointed to that work by the congregation. He's to take the oversight willingly, not having been forced or compelled to take it by others. Again, Paul had said in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 that he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good work. He desires to lead. He desires to use the talents that he has by virtue of those qualifications. He has the desire to use them in God's service in this special area of service that God has. But also note in that passage that he said that it isn't to be for filthy lucre. Or in other words, it's not to be because of what he can get out of it. It's not to be for compensation that might be offered to him. And I think it's fine to pay an elder who's doing that work on a full-time basis. I have no problem with that. But he's to be careful that he's not doing it for what he gets out of it, money or fame or recognition by the brethren. He's to make sure he's not doing it for the wrong reasons. "Neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you." Some would quickly say that elders are lording it over the congregation when they make a decision that's different from what they think should be done. Well, they would be lording it over the charge allotted to them if they took God's word and changed it for something else. If they were to permit things to be taught and practiced that are not in accordance with God's will, they would be lording it over the charge allotted to them. But they're not lording it over the congregation when, in matters of opinion, they reach a different opinion, a different conclusion than what we might do. There will be many times, if we were to appoint elders, there will be many times when they'll make decisions that we might have thought to do it a little different way, but they might have more information than we have. They might be looking at it from a different perspective, because of the qualifications that they have. And we need to recognize that. They're not lording it over us simply because they make a different decision in a matter of judgment that we might have made ourselves. So the elders, though, they're to oversee the work of the local congregation to make certain that all that is being done is being done in the way that the Lord wants it done, that is being done according to His will. I think because of time, we'll look at one more. And that is, they are to take heed to the flock. We saw earlier, they're to take heed to themselves, but they're to take heed to the flock. And this concept is an old concept in Scripture. There are a lot of places in the Old Testament where the concept of sheep and a shepherd are talked about with regards to the nation of Israel. Just notice some of these. In Ezekiel 34, we have several verses here. Ezekiel chapter 34. And in verse 2, says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, even to the shepherds, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep?" And the shepherds in Israel were not doing their job. They were taking care of themselves, but not taking care of the flock over which they were to be shepherds. And so we see that idea. Skip down to verses 5 and 6. It says, "And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field and were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and there was none that did search or seek after them." And then in verse 10, "Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, and I will deliver my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food for them." So Israel, they were to have shepherds. Over in Jeremiah, the passage there in the first four verses of chapter 23, he talks about Israel and these shepherds again. Down in verses 3 and 4, he said, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and multiply, and I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, saith Jehovah." So the idea of shepherds over the sheep is an Old Testament concept, and it's used in the same way in the New Testament. Again, Acts 20, verse 28, that we have alluded to already. "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops." Which flock? This is where I got brought in this other passage earlier. First Peter, chapter 5, and in verse 2, Peter had said, "Tend the flock of God which is among you." Elders of the congregation are to tend the flock of God. They're to tend the flock and make sure that it is kept safe from those that would seek to ravage the sheep. They're to make sure that we are fed, that is, fed a diet of God's word. They're to carry out that responsibility. But as Peter put it, to tend the flock of God which is among you. Elders of this congregation would not have any authority to tend the flock of any other congregation. I told you, I think, last Sunday about a congregation we once worked with in Rockwood, Tennessee, actually is where it is, just over near Knoxville. And they were overseeing another congregation in the area. And I think this passage would completely condemn that particular concept. But also notice that they are to be, that they must have know all of the flock. They are to tend the flock of God which is among you. But back in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock." To all the flock. An elder must constantly look out for the conduct of each member of the congregation. And that means he needs to know each member of the congregation. However many elders the congregation may have, they all need to know every member of the congregation. They need to know the sheep. They need to know of their needs. They need to know of their spiritual weaknesses. so that they can be of help, to keep them on the straight and narrow way, to keep them where they need to be in the sight of God. Back in John chapter 10 again, we were noticing over there earlier, in John chapter 10 and verse 14 of that passage, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is setting us the example for those that would be shepherds in his body, in his flock, that shepherds are to know the sheep. And so an elder needs to be acquainted with each member of the local congregation and know their spiritual needs in order to properly take heed to the flock. They're able to take heed to the flock so that they can watch in behalf of our souls, which again, Hebrews 13 and verse 17 tells us that is a responsibility of theirs as well. They need to know the flock. They need to take heed to the flock so that they can protect us in every way. Again, we're going to save some other points that we'll make next Lord's Day morning. We'll pick it up there and look at some additional areas of work or responsibility that elders are to carry out in the local congregation. And tonight, as we've said, we will look at the qualifications, begin looking at the qualifications of those that are to serve as elders in the church, so that we can know whether or not we have men that are qualified to carry out this special work. And so that they can know, so that all of us who are men can know what we need to be working on, so that in the future, if not now, that we can be of service in the Lord's church by carrying out this special work. Now, we appreciate your time and patience, but we don't want to leave this morning without extending an